messages from you. I know the hearts have been prepared to receive it. I'm asking you, sir, to anoint every word that comes out of my mouth tonight. Let it find good ground. I know your word says it will not return to you void. So, Lord, I trust as I submit myself as the vessel tonight, the Holy Ghost is here to keep me from error. I thank you for all that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. No visitors tonight, huh? Just family. That's a good thing. So, it's been a while since I've been up here, and this message is on my heart constantly. And for reasons really don't matter why I haven't delivered it for a while. They're just excuses. Reasons mostly are just excuses. Like my boss says, he doesn't want excuses, he wants results. So, I'm commanded to be obedient. We all are. Amen? Jeez, can I get a better amen? We're commanded to be obedient. God's word tells us in 1 Samuel 15:22 that obedience is better than sacrifice. And then in Isaiah 1:19, he promises if we are willing and obedient, we will eat of the good of the land. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Amen. So I don't have to tell you that our ministry here at ACA has been in a period of transition. Our pastor for over 38 years has retired, and Pastor and Teresa Robison have been assigned the mantle of taking our ministry into the next decade and beyond.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Some have chosen to move on, and for whatever reason, it really doesn't matter. Our hearts are saddened, but we pray God's best for them. Amen? But at the same time, we're excited to see the faces of the new members that the Lord has brought into the ACA family. I can assure you that none of us are here by accident. We have each been planted here by the Spirit of Almighty God, not here by accident. Amen? I, for one, am not a big fan of change. Sometimes this life is nothing but a series of changes. But if you dislike change as much as I do, you'll be encouraged that God tells us in Malachi 3:6 that He is the Lord who does not change. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
And then in Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, come on, today and forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the message this evening is titled Prayer Hedge Commitment 2020. It's hard to believe, but the first message I did on a prayer hedge was 1999. And the last one I did, most recent, was in January of 2016. And I don't know about you, but I need reminded of things I heard 4 weeks ago, let alone 4 years ago. So if no one else gets something out of the message, I'm going to tonight. Amen? But I know you will too. A few weeks ago, as we were about to begin worship, Pastor took one step on the top of the platform and proceeded to fall down to the concrete floor. I don't know what happened. My view was blocked, but he took Elder Denny down with him in the process. But thankfully, except for some expected, I guess, aches and pains, neither one of them was seriously injured. But church, that's calamity.
Yeah.
That's the very thing we need to be praying against. Yeah. Amen. So that really convicted me that this message was overdue. So with all that being said, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is going to be a refresher for most of you tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 in the New Living Translation says, "This is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people." Let's break it down. Who ascended? Jesus, right? Then the scriptures tell us that Jesus gave gifts to his people, quote unquote. Who's that? That's us. Make it personal. That's me. Look down to verse 11. "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry gifts, excuse me. So I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, so let's go through that again. Who gave the gifts? Jesus. So who did he give them to?
To
us. So let's look a little further to see why he gave us ministry gifts. Look at verse 12. This is the Amplified Classic. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Yeah. Listen to verses 11 through 13 from the Message. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. So the ministry gifts came from God. They were given to us by Jesus, and we are his church, right? So let me ask you a couple more biblical questions. If they were gifts, did we have to pay for them? No. Did we have to work for them? No. Did we steal them? Obviously not. They were gifts. Let's say I wanted to give you something. And let's say I decided it was going to be a $100 bill. I know Timmy says this is only fictitious, and he's right. So I take the $100 bill out of my wallet, and I say, hey, brother, I'm going to give you this $100 bill. I can see now you'd probably be pretty excited, right? Yeah. You'd probably say something like, man, I've been believing for $100. Only God knew that I needed that $100. Did anything change? I still got the $100 and you still jumping up and down.
That's right.
Gifts don't do us any good unless we do what?
That's right. Come on.
We got to receive them. Very good.
Yes, sir.
The same goes for ministry gifts, in particular, Pastor and Teresa.
Yeah.
We're blessed to have them, church.
Amen.
On March 15th, 2015, we were privileged to witness the mantle that was placed upon them, both. Yeah. Can I get an amen, Sister Teresa? And when that happened, along with it came the assurance that the integrity of this ministry would continue. We're blessed, church. We are a blessed church. So I exhort you this evening to receive Pastor and Teresa. They are our ministry gifts. First of all, we need to go to Jesus, if you haven't done this already, and tell Jesus thank you, and you receive that gift. And we're going to talk about being good stewards over that gift in a minute. Now, I know I'm just your brother, but can you receive from me tonight? Amen. I know you can. I know this couple. I have for many years, and there's a lot of people in this room right now that have known them longer than I have. I can assure you that they are the real deal.
Yeah.
If they were here for the wrong reasons, they would have been gone a long time ago. But their love for the Lord and their obedience to the call has kept them here.
Yeah.
I've gotten to know their hearts, folks. I can stand in this pulpit that I respect so much and tell you without hesitation that we have God's best in the Robinsons.
Amen. Amen.
The Father has equipped them to do all that He's called them to do. Pastor Jack and Teresa need and deserve, remember those two, need and deserve to know that you receive them as the God-given gifts that they are, and they need to be encouraged. We all do. Let them know you appreciate them. Listen, when you're encouraged or strengthened by a message, let Pastor Jack know. That probably, at least for me, is twice a week. When Teresa ministers to you on the telephone, or maybe one of her one-on-one, come on, meetings, you know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Sir.
Let her know she's making a difference.
Yeah.
I love to tease her. But that lady's made such a difference in my life, church. The next thing we need to do, don't tell her I said that. The next thing we need to do is we need to back it up with our actions.
Right.
Words are great and they're needed. They're powerful. But sometimes our actions can speak even louder. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You might want to stick a bookmark in there. We'll travel a little ways away, but we're going to be coming back there often tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look to verse 12. This is the King James. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. What does it say to do? To know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Pastor and Teresa, who labor among us, are a man and a woman of God. They have authority, and they're looking out for our souls. I remember when it hit me, Timmy. Pastor has to give an account for me. I felt bad for him. If that's not reason enough to pray for him, you know what I mean? You can laugh, but that's a fact. Seriously, once we receive our minister gift, each of us has the responsibility to submit to their authority. Then we got to pay attention. We got to begin to study them. And that sounds a little hokey when you say it that way. You don't have to take my word for it. Apostle Paul did a pretty good job in Philippians. Look there, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We're going to look at 8 and 9. New Living Translation. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Here's verse 9. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Keep putting into practice all that you learn and receive from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now I know that they will both be the first ones to tell you that they are not the standard. Jesus is. But anyone who does know them recognizes that they lead by example. Amen. So what we're talking about now is a relationship. The more you know someone, the better you can relate to them. If it helps to know one's character, if you plan to walk together, the less you know a person, might be a little bit more difficult to understand them, right? You ready for a little Greek lesson? It's all Greek to me. That word know in verse 12 in 1 Thessalonians 5 is Strong's G1492. It's pronounced I-do. I-do. It means to have regard for one, cherish, and pay attention to. Have regard for one, cherish, and pay attention to. Listen to verse 12 from the Amplified Classic. Now also we beseech you, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. Now the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Honor. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to read something. We'll talk a little bit more about the book later, but I want to read something quickly to you. The office of pastor is representative of God in the local church. And God takes it personally when we fail to honor him through our shepherds. It is not that they are perfect or any less sinful than we are. But somehow in the economy of God, the way we treat our pastors reveals the attitude of our hearts toward God. When a church fails to honor the office of pastor, no matter who the person is, the church dishonors God. In other words, if we cannot honor the pastor who we can see, how can we honor God who we can't? There's far too little honor given to our leaders in the body of Christ. So let's continue with verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, Amplified Classic this time. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Notice it says esteem, not exalt. We exalt Jesus, we esteem and honor our leaders. Esteem is defined as follows: to regard highly or favorably, regard with respect or admiration. And notice it doesn't say esteem them kind of highly. Doesn't just say esteem them highly. It says very highly. We are to esteem pastors very highly in love for their work's sake. What's their work? Preaching the word. Pastor in the flock. Shepherd, man. Guidance. Esteem them very highly because Jesus made them your pastor. Okay, Brother Dean, how do we do that? Man, am I glad you came out and asked that. Before I give you a list, I want to share a note from the Life Application Study Bible for verses 12 and 13. Quote, those who are your leaders in the Lord's work, unquote, probably refer to elders and deacons in the church. How many of you know pastor's an elder? Okay. How can you honor your pastor and other church leaders? Express your appreciation. Tell them how you've been helped by their leadership and teaching, and thank them for their ministry in your life. If you say nothing, how will they know? Remember, they, here's those words again, need and deserve your support and love. So how do we esteem them very highly in love? I'm going to give you six things tonight. Number one, be a blessing. There's many ways to do that. Little things like being polite, helping to bring unity. The end of verse 13 says, be at peace amongst yourself, right? Simply smiling. You know, it's tough to look at faces when you're up here. Debbie tells me that I look like Charlie Brown when I sing. Is that my eyes up there? I said, if you saw what I saw, you'd look at the ceiling too. But seriously, smiling when they're preaching, encouraging them with an amen once in a while, that helps to bless them. Number two, respect the office and honor the title. This is a real sore spot with me. You know, we address policemen and military leaders by their titles, and we think it's okay to just shout them out by their first name. I'll admit that this was challenging for me where Pastor Jack is concerned, because he's been my brother from another mother for a lot of years, right? I came here and I watched him go from deacon to elder to pastor, and you know, my slips are further and farther between, but I'm still working on it, sir. Still working on it. Number three, esteem him very highly with your mouth. Believe it or not, many people eat up and spit out their pastor every day. They judge and give poor confessions over his teachings and actions. Begin to say good things about Pastor Teresa and the Robinson family. And here's another one that gets my goat. Don't lower yourself to listen to others when they're being unscriptural toward their pastor. I'm not even talking about people in our church family. I'm talking about out. People know who you are. They know what you stand for. And they're going to stand there and run down their pastor in front of you? Mm-mm. Stop it right then and there. Tell them you ain't going to listen to it. Wait till you walk away. A little bit different if they say it about Pastor Robinson. Probably don't want to do that around me either. Just saying. God will bless you and honor you as you walk integrity and love, even if others don't. I'm going to say that one more time. God will bless you and honor you as you walk in integrity and love, even if the others don't. Right. Number four, be here when the doors are open. Be here when the doors are open. Did I say be here when the doors are open? Before I move on to number five, I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5:13 from the New Living Translation. It says, show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peacefully with each other. And verses 12 and 13 from the Message. And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Here it is. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love and get along amongst yourselves. The doors are open every Sunday and every Wednesday, church. Be here. Make it a priority. Number five, we just said get along among yourselves. Certainly get along with each other is going to go a long way in honoring our ministry gifts. Amen. And number six, and that's why I'm preaching this tonight, probably the best way to esteem them very highly is to pray for them and their family. Back on January 5th, it was about two Sundays ago, right? I get an alert on my phone. Dr. Mark T. Barclay was having a live stream Q&A session with his church. Did anybody catch that? It's on his app. But anyway, I get this note, and I guess they had the congregation send in questions that for Pastor Barclay to answer. So for their Sunday evening service, Vicki was sitting on one side of the table, Pastor Barclay was on the other side of the table, and she would ask the questions from the congregation, and then they had questions for the congregation, and they must have had keypads or something out in the audience, and they would ask questions, and it would go up on the board, and you have to ask me about that later. For sake of time, I can't really go there. But one question in particular provided me with confirmation that this message was right on point. It was already written at the time. And the question was, what can we as a congregation do to support you, their pastor, and help accomplish all that God called you to do? Anybody want to take a shot? Pray. That was number two. Guess what number one was? Attendance. Attendance. Be here for every service, he said. Think about that. What can we as a congregation do to support you and help accomplish all that God called you to do? Be here. He also said, Pastor Barclay gets a bad rap sometimes. He gets accused of being a lot of things. But humble's not one of them. But here's his third one. Then listen, I'm telling you, the man is humble. His third one, he said they needed to seek God and develop their gift because he was not the only one that was called to serve there. Let that one sink in. So the book, many years ago, Pastor sowed this book into our congregation. It's called Prayed On or Prayed For. It's by a Methodist pastor named Terry Takel. I believe that's how he pronounces his name. He's not here, so he probably won't get offended. But it's still in print. It was revised in 2000, and they added a lot. That's why I decided to order another one. Got it on Amazon, less than $8, was here in 2 days, so... good idea. You might want to pick one of those up. But I'm going to read a couple things from it. Get a couple more, as it were. Exodus 17 gives us a powerful and very literal model of what pastoral support looks like. It is the passage that much of this book is based on. In it, Pastor Moses was having a hard time. At Rephidim, the Israelites were short on water and they blamed Moses, their leader. The people called a meeting of the BTE committee. the Back to Egypt Committee, called a meeting of the BTE committee to grumble against him and generally carve him up because of their troubles. When he heard about their meeting, Moses was frustrated and asked the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." So the Lord came to his rescue, provided water, and the BTE committee adjourned. Moses probably thought his troubles were over, but just as everyone settled down, the Amalekites attacked. Moses ordered Joshua into battle and took Aaron and Hur to the top of the hill to pray. As he watched the battle, he lifted his hands over the people. In verse 11, it says, "As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning." As the battle dragged on, Aaron and Hur noticed that Moses' hands were growing tired, and they quickly discerned the danger that this might cause the Israelites. So Aaron and Hur found a large stone and sat their pastor on it in between them. With one on one side and one on the other, they held up his weary arms so that Moses' hands, quote, "remained steadily until sunset." The end result was a victory for the people of God. What a beautiful demonstration of support for a tired, battle-worn pastor. Although you will probably never have an occasion to physically support your pastor's arms, the picture of Moses, Aaron, and Hur on the hill is a symbolic expression of what happens when you pray for your pastor. On one side, pastors need prayer, protection for themselves and their families. We're battling the enemy who comes to, quote, "only steal and kill and destroy." He preys on pastors with an arsenal of destructive forces. On the other side, since pastors do spiritual work, they need prayer for spiritual anointing and blessing. In your prayers, you can ask God to make your pastor fruitful. The Holy Spirit honors prayers for pastors by blessing their work, both preaching and soul winning. Aaron on one side, Hur on the other, prayers of protection, prayer of blessing, together they result in victory for your pastor and for the ultimate purpose of God. This is exactly where the prayer heads came from, church. This has been established, it's been ongoing, but I think we needed a refresher. Okay, and one more quick paragraph. You all right? Yes, everybody okay? Still with me?
Yep, good message.
Without a personal prayer life, a strong hedge of protection, and the blessing which comes through the intercession of the congregation, you notice we have 2/3 of that, right? Without a personal prayer life, a strong hedge of protection, and the blessings which come through the intercession of the congregation, pastors stand little chance of long-term success. In all probabilities, the hands of pastors who are not prayed for will grow tired, they will fall into their sides, and the battle will be lost. It's imperative that we, the church, rise to the challenge and begin to hedge in our pastors with our prayers. Christy, would you put the slide up for me, please? This is Dr. Tickle's definition of a prayer hedge. It's more than just dashing off a few prayer phrases once in a while on the pastor's behalf. I think that we deceive ourselves when we think that that's going to work. But rather, a hedge of people recruited, planted, trained, aimed, and motivated to, there it is, consistently pray for the pastor. Consistency is the key.
Amen.
We've been taught that the one thing Satan has over most Christians is his consistency.
Right.
We need to maintain the hedge. That's why I'm standing in the pulpit tonight.
Right.
And I realize we don't always know how to pray for our pastor. This is another reason why our personal prayer language, praying in the Spirit, is so powerful. Take advantage of that. Now, in his book, he lists 7 areas in your pastor's life and ministry that are most likely to come under attack. I'm going to read them, but I can't think of anything that doesn't fall in there. Private life, family life, praise life, prayer life, professional life, preaching life, and persevering life. If you find something that doesn't fit, let me know. Okay? Now, I found several good resources as I studied for this message. There's more and more all the time. And the first one I'm going to read is, it's written by a pastor. That's why I liked it. I figured, you know, if it's good enough for a pastor to pray, I think I want to check this out. How to pray for your pastor. He says, allow me to give you some suggestions of things I pray for pastors and leaders. For sake of time, I'm not going to read them all, but I want to hit the highlights, okay? I pray that they would love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that their ministry would never steal from them their first love, Jesus Christ. I pray that they would love and serve their wife and family with glad hearts, and that their family would have love for the ministry instead of resenting it for stealing their husband and grandpappy away. I pray for a passion, for conviction, and dedication to their calling and to Jesus Christ. I pray for encouragement in their faith and ministry and against those who attack, slander, harm, or speak evil against them. I pray that their teaching and preaching will be accurate, true, bold, convicting, encouraging, anointed, and Christ-centered. You can check that one off right now. Here we go. I pray for rest spiritually and physically. I pray for rest spiritually and physically, and that they know it is not their ministry they are leading, but God's. I pray that they will finish better than they started. I pray that they will take time to have fun. I pray that they will take time to have fun. Do things they enjoy. Spend time with their wives and play with the grandkids. And get away often to find peace and solitude. Pray that ministry, teaching, preaching, and leading will never become a chore for them, but that it would always be a joy and a blessing to serve the Lord and His people with kindness and gladness, and that they would enjoy every aspect of leading, whether it's easy or hard, for the glory of God. He says, I pray these things for pastors and leaders, and I hope all of us will pray one for another. Amen. Pretty good. Timmy and Doc, would you pass those out for me? The other thing I want to read tonight is when I bought the book, Prayed On and Prayed For, went to the checkout, and it said, some people have bought this whenever. So I looked down, and sure enough, he has made a bookmark with scripture-based prayers to pray for your pastor. I thought, yeah, I'll take 150 of those. So they're coming around. If you want to, please take more than one. I got plenty. I want one in every Bible that you got. If your significant other members of your family aren't here tonight, make sure you grab some for them. My desire, and it's the Lord's desire, He put it in me, is that every member of this congregation has one of those in their hands. And listen, this isn't legalism. I don't want you to think that you got to read this every single day at certain time o'clock, right? It's just a tool. It's going to get you in the habit of praying the scriptures. And they're good. But what's going to happen is the Lord's going to bring other things to your remembrance. He's going to bring things that maybe aren't even spoken. Those are the ones you take to the throne, not to the phone, right? Well, let's just read a couple of these. The first one there on the front, victory. Thank you, Father, that your eyes are on my shepherd, that your ears are attentive to my pastor's prayers, and that your face is against those who plot evil against him or his family. Thank you in all things you work for the good of the Robinson family who loves you. Through Christ, they are more than conquerors. Thank you that no weapon formed against my pastor or his family will prosper. As the Robinsons dwell in the shadow of the Most High, deliver them from terror, darts of doubt, and diseases. Set your angels around my pastor and his family. Let no power of the enemy hurt them. Turn aside rumors, gossip, criticism, abuse, and ungratefulness. May inordinate expectations, stress, and fatigue be cast into the sea, and may every need and vision of Pastor John W. Robinson be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Knowledge. Enlighten the eyes of my pastor so that he may know the hope of your calling, the riches of our glorious inheritance in the saints, and incomparably great power that is in us who believe. Let my pastor see the full revelation of Jesus Christ. May he know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Family. Almighty God, shelter Pastor Jack and his family, cover their home, and preserve their time together. In your faithfulness, meet their financial needs in Christ Jesus and cancel the assignments of the enemy against them. Turn it over. Father, Father, heal my pastor's heart of any grief caused by ministry. Enable him to forgive those who hurt and speak against him. Bestow on my pastor a crown of beauty instead of ashes and anoint him with the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Clothe the entire Robison family with a garment of praise. May they be an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display your splendor. Anoint my pastor with the truth as he preaches. May he proclaim Jesus Christ in the energy of the Holy Spirit. Let people be cut to the heart and accept Christ. Confirm pastor's message with signs and wonders. Heal the sick. Set the oppressed free. You can read the rest on your own. Church, for sake of time, I timed this out. I was going an hour. I didn't think that would be a really good idea. So, you see, I had just a little bit of material. But I have mentioned in every prayer head's message that our training starts right here during pre-service prayer. And I have to be careful because I'll get accused of whining, but we need to make pre-service prayer a priority. We need to make pre-service prayer a priority. I know some of you work later on Wednesdays and it's tough. And I know you're never going to get sympathy from me because I'm here before any of you. Music practice starts at 9 o'clock. So please come out. And listen, we're not going to stick a microphone in your face. No, we just want you here. Because the more you hear, the more you're going to be able to repeat. It's a training session. Say training.
Training.
We need trained. We got some of the best prayer warriors in there. Shirley, come on.
Yes, sir.
I call Shirley prayer warrior all the time. That's why I say that. But whether you pray the scriptures, I know the book talks about praying the scriptures. Whether you pray the scriptures or in the Holy Ghost or simply say, Lord, help my pastor, you're adding, excuse me, to the prayer hedge. You're standing in the gap. You're pleading the blood of Jesus over pastor and his family. I'm sorry. The bottom line is we need to make the prayer hedge a priority. We have to commit to it. Remember, consistency is the key. Last little paragraph out of the book. Got an Anthony spirit on me. I cast it out. The highest honor you can give someone is to pray for them. And where honor is given, God will bestow victory and blessing. In other words, taking your pastor for granted is a sin. The reason a few dissenters can harm a pastor is because the 95% of the congregation who like and support him are not mobilized to pray. When you build a hedge of prayer around your pastor, you honor your pastor, I'll add in their families, and you honor God. We only know in part what our ministry gifts go through, church. Only know in part. And you'll never hear either one of them complain because they're God called. But again, I exhort you tonight to stand in the gap for them and the family. Because Pastor, Teresa, Leanne, Crystal, Joe, Gwen, Jack, Vicky, Shirley, Luke, and Leah need and deserve it. Amen?
Amen.
I have delivered what I have received.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You have need of prayer.